All right, we have a minute and 15 seconds to the closing bell. We'll have one day left in the trading sessions for the year, but we're going to break down what happened today with our panel, Christian Magoun, CEO of Amplify ETFs. Also, Uma Patarkhane is the investment strategist at Center Square Investment Management. We appreciate you both being here with us. Take a second, though, to take a look at what these markets are setting up. We just heard Jared breaking things down for us, and we were in the green up until the last 20 minutes of the trading session, as often happens. The Dow has pulled back now more than 100 points. You've got the S&P 500 down about 17 points. And Jared was just making the case as to why we hit that resistance at 4,800. The volume is just not there to help us break above it. And subsequently, we are going down just a bit with the S&P 500. NASDAQ is also off at this point, about 36 points. To put it into a bit of perspective, though, the S&P 500 year to date is still at the end of today when it closes down today, if it should settle down, it's still going to be up year to date over 27%. One other thing to keep in mind as we get ready for the closing bell, the cruise lines are taking a hit. The CDC is raising its calls not to go on cruises. There's the closing bell. The music on The Price is Right when they have the wrong bid. Dun, 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 all right, we're going to have a day down. Here's where we're going to settle. We're going to have the Dow off 90 points. The S&P 500 will settle down around 14, 15 points. NASDAQ, not as bad as it was just a minute ago. It'll settle down about 24 points. Let's get to our panel. And Uma, let me start with you. I was putting into perspective because nobody likes to see red, and yet we have had a year in which returns for the S&P 500 are over 27%. That is just phenomenal. Are people going to be expecting too much as we go into 2022?
Thanks, Adam. Good to be here. And great question, right? We have had an absolutely phenomenal year this year. And in the context of the amount of liquidity out in the market, the growth that we've had in the beginning of this new cycle here, this market makes sense, right? But as we go into next year, we have seen over the last month or so that flattening yield curve. And so it brings into question, what does that mean in terms of where we are in the cycle? What does that growth look like next year? And so we're looking at some choppy waters going into next year. The key really for us in an environment where we think inflation is really going to persist, it's going to come down a little bit, but still be at elevated levels. The key there is to make sure that we're looking at earnings growers and the quality of that earnings growth, being able to have that pricing power to really maintain that level of earnings going into next year. So it's a lot of that easy money's been made, and now next year gets a little bit more fun, right, as active managers here.
And this is where the two of you actually get to earn your money. Christian, you're actually talking about a barbell approach, and part of that is short duration T-bills. But you can still get burned, I mean, in a rising interest rate environment. So the optimum word there is short, but how short? I mean, 6 months, you don't want to be in treasuries really that long, do you?
We want to limit your duration risk for sure, because we definitely believe interest rates are going to rise here. The key is, what's the other side of your barbell? And we really think having a leveraged exposure to the equity market, maybe through leap options on the SPY ETF or the QQQ ETF, make a lot of sense, because that'll give you some leveraged upside participation, while at the same time holding treasuries really for that major risk off event, a geopolitical issue, a surprise in Fed timing, et cetera. When things get nasty, investors look to U.S. Treasury bills. And we think with the volatility next year, there's a lot of things that could happen. It could scare investors out of the equity positions they need to have over the long term. So we think that's why the barbell approach works. We're really not making a timing call on treasuries. But again, we believe that treasury duration should be a limited duration.
Let me follow up with you, Christian, because the Russell 2000 today, that index, just want to let everyone know, it was up about 0.25%. And if you want to play equities, should we be looking at small caps for the first quarter of 2000?
Well, I think they're an interesting kind of laggard, if you will, to some of the larger cap dominated indexes. So I think you want to have participation here. I agree that you do want to focus on quality going into next year. Small caps, a little bit dicey when it comes to quality. We also, though, believe that you want to concentrate on earnings growth. which small caps actually tend to have an edge on. So I think a balanced approach or a market weight to small caps makes sense next year. I don't think you want to flee them. But again, focusing on quality, we think is going to be important for equity investors.
Uma, when you're looking at the kinds of investments people might want to take into their portfolios next year, you actually like industrial real estate. You like suburban neighborhood retail. Help us see as investors what that looks like. We're talking about tangible assets for companies that don't get a lot of headlines, but will save us when the first quarter kicks off and we may get the retraction elsewhere.
Absolutely. So in this inflationary environment that we're still anticipating going into next year, real estate is a great hedge against that. From the industrial standpoint, something that we've been grappling with over the last year, something that we anticipate continuing into next year, is the issues that we're seeing from that supply chain perspective, right? And what we've really learned over the last 2-3 years is that we need to build significantly more resiliency into our supply chain. We're also seeing this incredible growth from an e-commerce perspective. And so as we're seeing that supply chain build out really happening, industrial real estate is the backbone, right, of all of the supply chain build out. We're seeing incredible amounts of demand for industrial real estate. Some of the names that we like there in terms of our core holdings, Rexford Industrial, for example, great Southern California infill industrial, last mile distribution type of assets that are going to be able to get those goods to consumers in the fastest and the most convenient way possible. And then you mentioned neighborhood retail. Something else that we're really focused on is the suburbanization that's happening across our demographic, right? You're seeing that aging millennial really move into more of that suburban lifestyle as they're looking at getting married, their kids need to go to school. And so you're seeing that suburban shift. And as that happens, we've actually seen these suburban retail shopping centers do incredibly well. We've seen foot traffic at some of these centers return to their, you know, pre-COVID levels as early as this past spring and have maintained really robust foot traffic from consumers ever since. And so those are the types of things that we're looking at as we look into next year, and we're looking for that quality of earnings growth in our portfolio.
It's interesting. There was a time when I think many of us would thought, just what America needs, more strip malls. But let me get back to you on this one, Christian, because what Uma's talking about is a play on what is now the world we live in. That was not the world before this pandemic. As you look forward, there are things before the pandemic that were getting headlines, which should come back into the mainstream headlines, like cannabis, for instance. What is the play for you, not only cannabis, but are there other things that we were focused on in 19 and should focus on again in 2022?
Yeah, so for some alpha opportunities looking into 2022, we think we need to look at certain market segments that have unique catalysts that may be kind of different than high correlation to inflation or interest rates. One of those markets is the legal cannabis equity market. We certainly have a fund in that space, and we've seen really kind of a sell-off in that area since the beginning of the year in 2021. There had been some anticipation mid-year that maybe a cannabis legalization bill would happen. We think that could happen here in 2022. We have midterm elections. Cannabis is going to be front and center. So look at cannabis as a potential alpha generator. On the other side, we think the battery space, whether that's battery metals, battery technology companies, or even electric vehicles makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of government spending worldwide that's focused on this area. Corporate and consumer spending is ramping up. So we think that makes a lot of sense, that whole battery stock space. We have an ETF in that area. And then finally, blockchain crypto sensitive companies. They've sold off here a little bit over the last like 45 days. We think that's the future of finance, of trust online. And those securities, we think, make a lot of sense. It's a great way to participate in the emergence of blockchain technology in one application, crypto, without having to get involved in the crypto space directly. We have the largest blockchain-focused ETF in the marketplace as well. So those are three areas, Adam, I think could present some alpha opportunities that are kind of unique from a catalyst standpoint from the average stock in the S&P 500.
And you can find those opportunities at Amplify ETFs. Christian is the CEO at Amplify, and Uma is an investment strategist at Center Square Investment Management. Thank you both for joining us. Have a healthy and happy New Year.